People, it's supposed to say you are tuning in for the culture podcast. Let me take a minute before you smell my breath on the podcast.
It's important for me to say this. Like, when you get married, because you exchange your vows with that person, and that shows that you're willing to fight for that person. Mm-hmm. Like, you willing to go down to the bottom for that person, like, for both parties. It should be the same for him too.
Back at it again, it's the Photo Culture Podcast. I go by the name Exotic Rose. I have my co-host, Money Mitch. And today we have a special guest, K.E. What's going
on? What's popping? What's good? Hey, I appreciate y'all for having me.
No problem. It's been a while. I know you had reached out to me earlier. I think it was like last year, actually.
Yeah. I reached out. Nice. I reached out to you know, I see IV, man. You guys been shaping the culture almost, man. And you guys got a seat at the table, definitely. I felt like, you know, what the DC Young Fly interview and things of that nature, you know, I felt like a guy like myself being on the rise as an up and coming artist, you know, this would have definitely been the platform in which I could brand myself and kind of, you know, talk about a little bit of what I'm bringing to the industry and what I'm bringing to the culture. So.
Perfect. This is your first time on. We actually had your brother on, your little brother Mark, on a while back. I think Mark was like our third guest ever, I think.
Yeah. My little bro Swayze, he was on there, and I showed him hella love. So that was dope.
Perfect. So let's start from the beginning. We'd like to give our guests or our fan base like a background information on where you're from. So like, and how was it growing up? So like, let everybody know.
Oh, for sure. You know, I'm from Homestead, Florida. That's a small town in Miami, Florida. Pretty much growing up, man, we face some ups and downs. I could kind of say it started off really good. I think, you know, my parents, you know, I'm Haitian, so. My parents, you know, they came into America, and then I was born. So they had my sister and my two brothers already, and I'm the fourth child. So, you know, they came in, and the crazy thing is I was born early, so I'm premature. You know, I almost didn't make it. You know, so when you talk about struggle, man, I've been faced with it, or I've been. We talk about adversity. I've been faced with adversity since I came out the womb, you know? So what happened is that my mother, she was coming from Haiti to America, and she was obviously pregnant with me. And, you know, there wasn't food and stuff for her to eat. And you know, so she could have lost me, but, you know, I'm lionhearted and I made it, you know? So right when she, and it played out well for me because right when she touched American soil, you know, I was born, you know. So, and it's crazy because I was born, and then Hurricane Andrew, you know, came through. That happened in '92. I'm a '92 baby, you know. So, Hurricane Andrew came through. So, wow, I was just born in the midst of a tragic storm, you know. And I was born at 7 months. So I was born 2 months early, you know, and a lot of the start of my life was in the incubator and stuff like that at the hospital. So my mom couldn't take me home until time, you know, months and months later. So grew up in Homestead pretty much as a young man, as a young kid, you know, I had my father around and I had my mother around. I just had my siblings, you know, but. It wasn't a perfect family, you know what I'm saying? But my father and my mom, you know, my dad used to abuse my mom and stuff like that. You know, so I grew up in a broken household, and that built a lot of anger inside of me. And eventually my mom and my dad, they separated. So not having a father figure, you know, and my mom struggling with five kids, you know, trying to make a way, you kind of venture off and you start to do certain things, you know. So a lot of my childhood, man, was filled with a lot of pain and resentment from what I had seen from my father. And how that household was just kind of broken and stuff like that. And then I began to hang out with my friends because I was filling the void. You know, I began to hang out with friends and you know, you get in fights. And eventually, through fighting with your boys, you grow a bond and stuff like that. So it was me and my cousin growing up. My cousin Jack Boy, rest his soul, he passed away February 11th, 2018. But, you know, that was my rider, and we just used to kind of, you know, do a lot together. You know, a lot that, you know, we won't speak on, but, you know, the emotions of growing up without, you know, you tend to do things and you tend to get involved in some things that you would never hope to get into, but, you know, they happen, and that's along the way. So, fast forward, I went from Homestead and I moved out here to Broward, you know, and Broward was just different. I came from a small town in Homestead to Broward County that was big. And that's the biggest city that I've ever seen in my life at the time, you know. I moved out here when I was like 15 years old. And man, I've been in Broward ever since. And I'm happy my old girl made that move to bring me out to Broward, because I got to meet genuine people. I got to meet, you know, people that has a hustler's mentality, you know. Not to say that we don't hustle and we don't grind a day, because we built off of that. But in Broward, it's just a little different, you know. Yeah. The people showing a lot more love out here. And people have experienced a lot more out here. So that helped groom me, you know, because I started to do different things. Like, I got into playing football, organized football. Back in day, I was playing street football a lot, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, I got into some trouble out here too, you know, but I'm here. I'm alive and well. I got to meet some great people. I got to travel. If I was still down in Homestead, man, I'd have been dead or locked up, you know. And Broward just kind of opened up the door for me, and my music is inspired from Miami, but my drive comes from what I learned out here in Broward. So I got the best of both worlds, and you know, in that sense. So,
yeah. Who's older, you or Willie?
Nah, oldest, Willie older than me, man. Willie got
awesome. Willie was born in Haiti.
Yeah, Willie was born in Haiti. Yeah.
Did not know that. He don't act like a Haitian though.
I mean, what a Haitian act like? What a
Haitian act like? No, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, the Haitians that come from Haiti, they usually like the, like, what they call them, like the, I don't know what you want to say, like
they got an accent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I had an accent back then too, because my parents came from Haiti. All they spoke was Creole, you know? So, like, growing up in school, I had Esau, you know, because just like you know, you don't speak much English, they put you in Esau to learn the English language, you know?
I think that whole system was messed up for doing that, because just because you have an accent, I don't think you need to be an Esau.
Yeah, but you know, back then, they had to find a way, you know what I'm saying? They had to find a way, and I think that's just the way the system was built that back then, where now you got Google Translate. Mm-hmm. You know, you got access to different things now, where the technology is major. Technology is big right now. And back in the days, we didn't have that. So, you know, I learned English from school, you know, communicating with peers at home. All I spoke was Creole, mm-hmm. You know, and obviously when you got five kids together, whatever the oldest learned, the little one is gonna follow, you know. So my three older siblings, they all went to school, they learned, and they brought it back home to me and my
that's how it usually is. Yeah,
that's how my younger brother. So yeah, for sure.
Hey, so everybody raps. You rap. Mark raps. Does Willie have like a unreleased song or gift that when it comes to music or something?
Yeah, I mean, we come from a musical background, man. You know, rest in peace, my pops. But when he was here, he used to play the guitar.
Oh man. Oh,
okay, so that's where it started. That's where it started.
Yeah, it started from there. And the crazy thing is, this is destiny, man. Like, you know, my dad, I kind of alluded to that in the beginning where I said, you know, my dad, life was it had its moments, right? It had its moments where it was steady. It was going really good. My dad, he owned a business, you know, but he just couldn't manage his money. So there was no sustainability in that business. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, when he had that business, man, he used to bring me into his shop and make me rap for his customers.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I used to rap that old school Wayne, that Yellow Viper, Yellow Hummer, Yellow Benz, Yellow Pistols, Yellow Lack. So I stole Weezy's lines, and I was rapping to the Haitian culture, man. And they thought I was it, you know. Man. So that's the confidence came from there. Like, you know, rapping to them, they were just like, man, it's like they were looking at a young star, you know. But I'm a 92 baby, so it's like what we got now, the social media platform wasn't it back then and stuff like that. So, you know, music-wise, especially in Miami, like some of the young artists weren't really getting pushed and stuff like that. We kind of had to shape the culture to where it is now. But nobody was really like branding young artists. And my dad ain't really put me anywhere where I could showcase, you know, the skill set that I had, but besides his shop, you know? So, and pretty much I got my oldest brother, he played the piano, you know, and right. He would play the piano. My dad would play the guitar, and we just kind of freestyle and stuff like that and get into music like that. So we all just kind of connected to music just through my old boy, you know?
Is there a church background? Because my parents Haitian, and
they
love that leg leads, boy.
I know, you know.
So when you used to rap, didn't they give you that, like, I don't want to hear that music. I want to hear that Christian song.
No, because, like, ain't no curse words in that. You know, okay. Like Yellow Viper, Yellow Hummer, Yellow Benz, Yellow PT Cruiser, Yellow Lack. Like, it ain't no curse words in that. So, you know, and it's just like, I just used to rap that piece. And okay. So they ain't never like, they was rocking with me, you know? And I was young, man. I had swag, you know? So, you know, like, hey, I had swag. And I was rocking out. So they were rocking with me.
From here, this is your first single that you just dropped, or how long you been doing music for? Because that Nightmare song, I like it, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. It's crazy, man. You know, I was rapping from when I was younger, and then I had a passion where I was playing, you know, some sports and stuff like that. I got a little bit into the sports, and then I started to rap, but then I took a different venture. I was doing like Christian hip hop, like.
I remember that.
Yeah. So I was doing some Christian hip hop, you know, and that was going really good, man. Like I had moved out to Texas. I had a lot of prosperity in that era, you know, where I was rapping in front of crowds of 2,000 people. And stuff like that. And I was connected with a team called Hill City. Shout out to Hill City. A really amazing ministry, you know, that just kind of, I think Hill City kind of taught me like responsibility as a man, you know. I kind of talked about not growing up without a father. Sometimes you fall into different things and stuff like that. Or you tend to ignore things that you face in life, or you run away from them. And Hill City just really taught me how to hold myself accountable and how to take responsibility as a man. So shout out to Hill City. And I was doing that. But then I just felt like, man, I was rapping. I was rapping to folks that already knew the gospel. You know, I was rapping to folks and I just couldn't relate to a lot of them. You know, because I ain't perfect. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather be in the crowd of people that ain't perfect. You know, that's trying to figure out a way as opposed to being in the crowd of people that think they perfect and want to act perfect. You know?
Yeah.
And I always felt like, man, like Jesus ain't go to the rich folks and preach the gospel. Mm. You know, he went to where everybody was broken at, where everyone needed healing, and where everyone was making mistakes, and he was a light shining at the end of the tunnel for them. And I feel like, you know, when you are part of an industry, I don't lean on the music more so, I lean on my lifestyle, you know, because folks will judge me by my actions. You know what I'm saying? Like I could be saying, oh, I'm as holy as thou, you know, but then I'm smoking weed, or I'm out smoking a cigarette, or I'm out smoking a Blackie Mile. You know what I'm saying? Like my actions don't mirror what it is that I'm talking about. Like, if people's gonna judge you by your actions, and I think being a part of this culture where you can go in and you can help change lives and stuff like that, and music platforms you to be able to do other things, and music is a platform. So it's me utilizing the gift that I was given to connect to people that I would have never connected to, that's broken, that's going through things. And maybe the way I live my life, maybe my actions will help bring some healing to them, you know? So, then fast forward, I went on a little break. You know, after I left that ministry, I moved back into Florida, you know, and maybe around 2016, I started to make some music, but then I was real low key with the music because I was still trying to find myself at that moment. I was trying to find ground on, you know, what I was going to do and how I was going to do it. And then around 2016, I had my wife, she gave birth to my daughter, who's now 5 years old, you know, and
congrats to that.
Appreciate you. So appreciate it. So at that moment, I went into full father mode and I was like, man, I need to learn how to be a father, you know, because I wanted to provide for my daughter some of the things that I ain't never had as a child, you know, so I needed to make sure. And I took that little break because I needed to make sure that I was locked in and focused on being a father, you know, and I did that. And then 2018, my cousin passed away, and that's where I went through a lot of pain, you know, and cause that was my day one, you know, and I grew up with him and stuff like that. And we always kept close as a family. And just kind of losing him, man, it pivoted me into that direction. And I released a project. It's on Apple Music. It's called Long Live Jack. A lot of people don't think it's me because it don't have my face on it. It has my cousin face on it that passed away, you know. Mm. But then that was the first project I put out. Then I had a couple singles in between. I got Pain, and then I had I had a song called Care For You, and then I went in and I dropped Freshman Year. So I could say, to answer your question, I've been making music solid from like 2018, 2020, I dropped the project, and now we rolling like nonstop. Man. Like I'm locked in, I'm all the way in. So Nightmare is a single that I'm pushing right now, and Nightmare just is exposing a lot. You know, it's exposing a lot of what I've endured in my life, And it's exposing a lot of, like, you know, like fake friends and things like that. It's just speaking some of that real that people really need to hear. But then it got into my inner thoughts too. You know, like, and that opening verse is like, I woke up this morning with an eerie feeling. Didn't know if I died or if I'm still living. People in my circle don't want to see me winning. Felt that in my spirit they was plotting to kill me. Niggas was plotting to dumb me. You know, like, that's what I think about on a day to day. What happened?
Never trust the one that say they down.
yeah. Never trust the ones that say they down with you. I don't never press the issue. I'm coming back for every lie they told. They say I wouldn't make it, but I'm here. We're gonna watch the rest unfold. You know, like that's for like for the ones that doubt it, you know, like, and you know, everybody go through this. I think everybody has a moment where they just like, dang, man, like you believe in yourself more than everybody else do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you reach out. You know, but people ain't really showing you the love, or they ain't reciprocating it. You know, are you showing them love and they ain't reciprocating that love? You know, so it's just like, so sometimes they downplay you, sometimes they ignore you, and I wanted to put that out there. Like, I see, don't worry, I ain't got my blinders on, I can see it's clear, but don't worry, we're gonna watch the rest unfold because this destiny. So
I agree with that. I used to think like that too, and as time went, like as I got older and started like rising up, I realized that sometimes it's about timing too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So that's why sometimes I don't get offended. You get what I'm saying? Like sometimes I don't get offended. Yeah, because sometimes it's just not right. But just wait when your time. It's all about timing. It's gonna be your turn soon, and when your turn, just take advantage of it. Just don't let go. Like passing the baton. Just
yeah, keep for going. Sure. And like I, you say that, it's crazy you say that, because like I've been saying this. Like I remember I was talking to my bro, and I was like, sometimes when you're doing something, it's okay for people to not catch on to the wave right then and there because you in that space, and you don't want them to come in and alter that, and to alter that. That space that you in, you know, or you don't want them to throw you off. So it's cool that they not rocking with you right now. You get what I'm saying? But later on, it's cool to also bring them on board too. Like, I'm a firm believer, like, how can I put this? Like, okay, I'm in this space, I'm in this moment, I'm in this time right now. But it don't mean that some months down the road that we can't come together and build something off of this space and this time right here. Things just fall in place. That's the structure of the world. You know what I'm saying? Where things have time and they fall in place at certain times and stuff like that. But I keep that mindset that like I could learn from everybody. I can learn from everybody. And you could be around somebody, but and then you could turn their life into a story. You could tell a story. It's just kind of like how they remake the story of Tupac, or they remake the story of Biggie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could take what somebody's going through or that space that you're in, and you can create a story out of it. And that's a lot of what the culture is today. It's storytelling. It's you know, it's expressing people expressing themselves, or they telling the story of somebody else.
You feel like this is the perfect timing? Because I know you said you took off and you had to make sure everything was right, especially for your kid, you know, for your daughter and everything like that. So you feel like it's the perfect time? Because I see like on your Instagram, you just like, it looked like you revamped everything.
I still got everything. I ain't delete everything, because at some point people gonna want to see like where I was and where I'm at now. So I ain't delete everything. I just archived everything, and I was just like, all right, we gonna start from this point, and we gonna keep pushing in this direction. But I think I came to peace with how I'm doing it now. And growth is everything. And it's just like kind of how I was looking at certain people to do things for me in the past, or maybe I got discouraged because certain people wasn't behind me, but sometimes you got to make the closest ones to you believe in you. Sometimes you just got to keep riding your wave and people going to catch on later on. Yeah. You know, so I came to peace with that. And I was like, man, you know what? We're going to keep pushing it in this direction. We're going to keep our foot on their necks and people are going to catch on. All people want to see is that you're consistent. You look at some of the greats like Kevin Gates. Kevin Gates been making music for years before people caught wave of him, you know?
That's true.
But because, and I respect Gates, man, because kind of like the way Gates live his life, man, he live his life on his standard. He don't live for nobody else. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what it's been like for me with music.
One thing I heard about, I'm sorry to cut you off, but one thing I heard, like you said, like Kevin Gates live on his terms. I seen an interview, I think it was with Lil Bibby, and he was talking about how all these rappers are spending money on all these designer clothes and this and that. He was wasting money. Like, he was wasting like $20,000 a month. And then Gates talked to him, like, why are you doing all that, man? I got me some Air Forces, a white tee. Yeah. He was like, and then if anybody come to me and say I'm broke, I just pull out a whole bunch of cash. And then your person that's wasting money on all these designer shit, they can't even pull out the cash because all that money's in the clothes.
See, I'm different. You don't need to know what's in my pocket.
Exactly, yeah.
A couple things you'll probably never see me do. I don't show money. I don't flash money. I don't even like carrying cash. If I'm going to deal with cash, then I'll put the money up. I hide it somewhere. And because I don't deal with cash so much, I forget that I even got the cash. You know, mm-hmm. I really deal with, like, I keep everything in my bank because the bank give you insurance, you know. Somebody use your card or whatever, you got some money missing, you could dispute, you know, things like that. But I don't like people in my pockets mm-hmm. because I don't ever want people to think I'm more than what I truly am. That shit gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you see a lot of cats, they lose their life. They lose their life.
Yep.
For showing off and flogging, you know, because niggas think they really got it, but now they getting robbed and they getting killed. Like, nah, we ain't doing none of that. You don't need to know how much money it is that I make. And like, a couple cats be like, oh, nah, I see you. Nah, you don't see nothing. You don't see nothing. Like, I could have a Bentley. I could have a Bentley outside the house. You're not gonna know that. Because I'm not flogging no Bentley. I ain't taking pictures in front of no Bentley. If you're going to fall in love with my music, you're going to fall in love with my music because I'm an artist, because I'm talented. You ain't going to fall in love with my music because I'm showing off or I'm flashing money and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, I did that at one point in my life, and then I had people reaching out to me. Like, damn, I see you. Oh, damn, what's up? Are they trying to... You know what I'm saying? Like they were getting at me for the wrong reason, and I'm like, nah, I ain't into that.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Like exactly. I ain't into that. Yeah. Like, you know, what you doing? I'm working. I got a job. I'm grinding. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how I'm making my money. You don't need to know some of the other things that I vested in and things like that. You don't need to know that because, like, sometimes, you know, we create our own enemies. You know, because we're giving too much information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, nah, that's stuff that's between me and my family, like how much I make. That ain't got nothing to do with you.
You just know, it's crazy. Remember the Pop Smoke situation? Tessie, he was showing off on, well, I guess I wouldn't say show it off, but he was on, what was it, Snapchat, and they got the address from that.
Oh, yeah, the Pop Smoke. Yeah. He was flogging something, I think, and then they got the address and stuff like that. And It's crazy. I got a song. I got a song that's gonna be on the next project that kind of talk about that. So okay. We're gonna be speaking about some real, you know. So y'all think Nightmare popping.
Yeah, man.
It's some more heat coming behind that Nightmare, man.
Okay, okay. Do you plan on like having a message for every song you put out? Cause I wanted to talk about one of your verses in Nightmare. You was like, they start a civil war, so we don't multiply. What was your like? Explain that line, because I wanted to see if me and you were on the same page when you said that.
Yeah, like it's just like, okay, I don't know if you ever seen the show. Damn, what it's called, man? The lead actor is Snowfall.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all ever seen Snowfall.
Yeah, and the British guy. It's a story off of the, what was his name? Real Rick Ross.
Yeah. Like, where basically, you know, they put crack or cocaine in the neighborhoods, and it was destroying our people.
Okay, see, yeah, me on the same page. Oh, yeah, you were talking about the system pretty much.
Yeah, talking about the system, starting a civil war so we don't multiply. Made us turn on each other to keep the vibe, fucking with our psyche, plotting our demise. Yeah, that's talking about the system.
System, okay. I liked it. I was like, okay. I was like, he's woke. Okay, I see him.
Yeah. So, I put a message in just about everything. You know, And if you go back and you listen to like the project freshman year, like if you think about it, I got something, dog. I got something, and y'all finna see it. Cause I got 4 volumes coming out of that. You got freshman year, and I'm gonna have a sophomore year, and I'm gonna have a junior year, and I'm gonna have a senior year. You know, like the freshman year, if y'all go back and y'all listen to that project, it's just like when you were freshman in school. When you a freshman in college or you a freshman in high school, whatever, you trying to figure everything out. So I gave y'all a lot of everything on freshman year. You see what I'm saying? It's like, there's just some things I can't speak about. I never let the words leave my mouth. Seen too many of the game folk. The reason why I can't trust the soul. Like, so I'm giving y'all a lot. Like, and then you got Care For You. As the second song, and then you got Threes, where Threes really talk about something. But the last song, Ghetto Gospel, on the tape, that kind of give you some of what I was when I was a part of Hill City, you know, that the ministry that I was a part of. So it kind of talk about a little bit of that, because I'm talking about some real stuff. I want y'all to go back and check it out, that Ghetto Gospel. And it's like, he who have no sin, cast the first stone. I'm trying to speak some light to these dry bones. The Lord's coming. Freshman year, the storm's coming. Hey, this is a category 5. I got the staff in my hands, cousin. Like, let's talk about some. And I was like, I'm about to part the Red Sea and shift dead. I'm about to do what Moses the King did and lead the people to the promised land of milk and honey. About to show them how to sow their money and make history. Like, I'm talking about some stuff on that last song, Ghetto Gospel. So, the sound for you.
It's that Clark music. Clark liked that type of music. Clark said he don't like that. Okay, can't tell. Clark said he likes the verses, the words. He can hear them. He likes the message. For sure. He don't be liking all that other stuff, he said.
Yeah, they're always talking about. Yeah.
I get you.
Everybody got an op. Like, they got it out the mud, and, you know, all that stuff.
Don't get me wrong, not too like that. That's part of the culture, Clark. So, I got some stuff. Like, I got a song called Op too. Like, if you go on IG, you go hear it. You know, like
Clark's like, oh my God.
Yeah. I got some songs talking about that too. But that's the culture though, and I'm a part of the culture. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just like we all had enemies at some point of our life. We all done been in some stuff. Like I done been in some near death moments, like couple moments, like where I'm being shot at and you don't know if you're gonna make it out. Like you don't know if you got hit or not. Like I've been in situations like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, so you know, ops are ops, man.
I know. I hear you. You know,
so, yeah, I got some stuff. I got some stuff like that too, but yeah. I ain't mumble rapping.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I'm that's talking what I mean. About
like when the guys got the same song, like it's ops, ops, ops. I'm like, man,
come on, man.
Like everybody's rolling up, pulling up on somebody. Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm like, man. Every time, I mean, like, you know, like almost every song they talking about, I'm like, oh, no.
I see what you're saying. They overdoing you know, it.
That's the culture now, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they overdoing it. No, I get what you're talking about.
Yeah. They're not versatile, I guess, with it. I guess that's what you're saying, Clark, right?
Yeah, because the song's like that, man. All right, so it's like when Lil Durk first came out. People forgot, man. People forgot. Like, he was never talking about that. He would not, there's no ops, there's no none of that. He said, if you want to meet the president, you got to meet the Bang Bros. Stuff like that. He was talking about that.
But I just think the ops was always there. I just think it wasn't publicized like it is now.
That's true.
You get what I'm saying? Like everything now is publicized. Like social media is out there now. So it's just like when Dirk was when Durkio was Durkio, Dirk, Smirk, you know, like when he was coming up, like social media, like just venture, you know, we just were jumping into MySpace and we were jumping into Facebook. So those were like the early stages of it. So you ain't see a lot of that internet that you see now.
That's true.
You know, people wasn't really using social media for that. I think. And social media grew, the culture grew with it. And it's just like, you got stuff that's happening. You got real life that's happening. And I think, like, growing up in Chicago, you experiencing that. So he started to put that in his music. Like, I went to school outside of Chicago. And... Mm-hmm. Like you'll hear a lot of people say it, like, man, Chicago, they living like that. Then nah, they really living like that. They really living like that. Because I had a moment where I was in school and I experienced that. Like they really living like that in the shop. And I was in Illinois, like I was in Joliet, Illinois. Some of them cats came from the city of Chicago, you know. And they came out there and we just had an incident. Like it was some girls there. The girls were flirting with our camp. And then, you know, these dudes just came out of nowhere. And, you know, they just, you know, my homeboy was just like, oh, nah, you know, we from Florida. We just, you know, we out here. And then he was like, man, fuck where you from.
Yeah, they ain't good.
You know, we from Florida now. We just like, nigga, fuck, where you from? Man, them boy went behind the tree. They pulled out that chrome, man. Yeah. Them boy went behind the tree and pulled out the chrome. Like, we in school now. We ain't got no Thule on us. We ain't got nothing. So, man, we got missing. Like, we got missing. So, like, yeah, them boys from the shot, They living like that for real. I had an experience like, you know, with a couple cats from out there. So hey, whoever if they watching this podcast, man, that's free promo for them. That's free promo for them.
That's crazy. What was your thoughts on the whole what was the guy's name that just got passed that was with Lil Durk?
King Von.
Oh, King Von?
King Von, yeah. Mm. What was your thoughts on that? Because like that's sad to me, man. Like that we got to do this to each other, bro. We all like we should be working together to like evolve our code, like our culture and our.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really got much to say. I don't speak on the dead, and I don't like really speaking on situations.
Yeah.
Because King Von, he can't tell the story from his perspective, and
all I
know is what the media put out there. You know what I'm saying? Like I wasn't there, and I don't know their situation. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like it's sad to watch anybody die, not just King Von. You feel me?
Yeah.
But I felt like he was really tapping into the culture and stuff like that, and when you look at his life, like when you look at the person, you know, like you know, he was a stand-up guy. Like he showed a lot of love to the folks that he grew up with, and whatever he went and got changed for his dogs and stuff like that. And that's shit that he ain't had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he had ties and he was loyal to his gang and it's nothing but respect. But I can't speak on that situation. He ain't here to speak and tell his side of the story, so I'd rather not comment on
it. Yeah, man.
I feel you.
Yeah, as far as with that, I mean, like I noticed like a lot of the rappers that have been passing away recently, they've been talking a lot about their own demise too. And I feel like they put that energy out there because also when they're putting the music out, they're messing with frequencies. So I know a lot of people just don't believe in that, but there's a frequency behind even the beat. So they're putting that out there. It's like Mo 3 said the same stuff that King Von. They got Mo 3. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I used to live in Dallas, so, and I knew about Mo 3 way before, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
talking about it. So yeah, he sings pretty good, man. I know everyone's like, Rod Wave. Nah, Mo 3. Because Mo 3 has some good music, but he would always talk about his own demise. And I'm like, man, they gotta be, you know, I mean, I don't know how you feel about that part. I mean, I know it's real, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you say, but I noticed like a lot of the rappers that do talk about it, and they talk about it a few more times in their music. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you feel about that part when making music?
Yeah, like it? I won't speak on Mo 3 situation, but I could speak on like kind of the question that you asked.
Yeah.
So it's just like everybody got an expiration date. It's like what you put out is what you're gonna get in. Mm-hmm. So when you put certain things out there, you know what I'm saying? Or if you were living a certain way, like you can't escape your past. You see what I'm saying? Like, ain't nothing new under the sun. You get what I'm saying? Like, what you done did in the past, like you're gonna have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever. Like, so I think we sometimes look at like the music and we look like, dang, man, that person really talented. But it's about the actions, man. It's about the actions and like how you really living outside of the music. You know what I'm saying? And I think you don't really get to see that as a fan of the music unless you there with that person on the day to day. So you don't really know what's going on in that artist's life. And I think sometimes the media, the blog sites, man, like the blog sites tend to make things bigger than what they truly are. You know what I'm saying? Or the blog sites don't really get the full story or the full intel, and they put things out. And I think it's not just what rappers, I think it's just the world now. The world is real sensitive. You know, and the world is real sensitive because like everything is out now. With the social media, the camera phones, and all that stuff. So it's like, I see it. I give you like an example. I be seeing like artists, they get posted on Say Cheese. And then you got trolls, they be trolling on the comment section. And then you see the artists arguing with the folks that's trolling them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like you giving a person that you probably never meet, you probably never see, you'll probably never have a conversation, but you letting them dictate how you're gonna live your life or what you're gonna say or what energy you're gonna put out there. And I think that's what get folks in trouble. That's what put folks in certain situations in life. And at the end of the day, I feel like you can't escape your past. It's just going to catch up to you and whatever. So one thing I do say though, it's like, it's a lot of artists, like it's a lot of artists that ain't taking the necessary steps to protect themselves though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like moving out the hood?
Yeah, like relocating.
Yeah, that's what Boosie said to do. When you get famous or rich, you got to lead the
Hood. Not just that, Rose. I think it's just kind of what we were talking about earlier with the flash and the money.
Oh, okay.
And giving the world too much. Like, man, certain things you just got to you can't be sharing your game room, or you can't be inviting everybody into your game room. You can't be showing everybody everything. You can't do that, man. Like, and I feel like ain't no privacy in this industry, man, with a lot of stuff. Like, you know, to be the hottest artist, you got to make this amount of money, or you got to hold this amount of money up. And that ain't me. If they're looking for that out of me, they ain't never gonna get that. You gonna get music out of me. You gonna get real music out of me. You gonna get music that you can relate to out of me and stuff like that. And I say this too, because I want the world to hear it. I want the world to hear it from me. Like, artists is go and get your concealed weapons license. And just because you own a firearm, just because you own a pistol, that don't make you hard body. Go out and get trained on how to use that pistol. Like, I think a lot of mistakes that cats make, that artists make, is they'll go and get a pistol, but they don't know how to use it.
Mm.
And then they fall in the situation and they don't even know what to do with it. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to know and to do. And it's a certain way you got to hold a pistol. You need to learn the formalities of holding a pistol. You can't just go out there thinking you finna hold your pistol to the side and you know what I'm saying? You can't think that you're gonna do what you seen on TV. Like, nah. They don't. It's on TV for a reason. They acting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you in a real life situation, you can't go in and cocking your pistol to the side, trying to shoot at somebody. Nah, because you got to be in certain. I recommend, like, go out and get tactical training, because when you fall in situations, and you won't know until you actually been there. When you fall in certain situations, it happens so fast, man. Like, it happened within the blink of an eye. You don't even think that something's gonna go down. It just happened. And next thing you know, you in the midst where you trying to take cover. You, like, you worried about your life at this point. So I always tell folks, man, go out and get the training. Cause it's one thing to own a pistol, but it's another thing to know how to shoot it. And I feel like artists, they talk about pistols that they hear other artists talk about, but they don't know how much recoil that pistol got.
Yep, and they were talking about 40, 45. And all.
You know what I'm saying? They don't know if that pistol jam or not.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like they talk about Glocks. Like,
I own
a Glock. They talk about Glocks a lot. Like,
that gun is no joke.
Look,
it has no
safety. I done been to the range with my Glock, and I'm letting shots off with my Glock, and it's crazy. One time I'm letting shots off, and you know, as the shell is coming out, the shell got jammed, and like, they don't know when you can shoot, you can keep shooting, and whatever, it puts wear and tear on your pistol. A lot of people don't know that if you don't clean your pistol, it's gonna alter how your pistol shoot.
Yeah,
exactly. And it get jammed up too.
Exactly. Like, a lot of cats don't know that. They just rap about these guns, but they don't really know. They don't really know how the guns work. They don't know how to break down the pistol. And like, I could still carry, so I carry a firearm.
That's good.
And like, well, I remember my first time going to the range, I was nervous. Cause now everybody got guns. And everybody else that's shooting a gun, you don't know.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? You don't know where they mental at. You don't know what space they in. You don't know. Like, so I was real nervous, like my first time.
Yeah, I be watching side to side, man. They ain't catch me, man.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So another phase I went through, I had to carry my firearm and whatever. So like, you know, growing up in Homestead, you just like, dang, you know, you always nervous because you walk around with something that you ain't even licensed to carry and stuff like that. So now I had to get out of that mindset. And like, all right, I should feel comfortable to carry my firearm with me, carry my pistol with me. But then you also think about law enforcement too, and whatever. You just like, man, you know, make no mistake. I woke up a black man. I wake up a black man every day. I go to sleep a black man every day. You know, so you worry about that too, and stuff like that. And then carrying the Glock, it ain't got no safety, so you just like, dang. You know, I don't want to be in a situation like the GOAT Lil Wayne and I shoot myself, you know? So man, I had to get comfortable with that too. But I really got comfortable when I learned how to break my Glock down. When I learned how to break it down, and I'm looking at piece by piece. You know, I'm looking at the spring inside of it, and you're looking at the handle. The handle's plastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so When I broke down my Glock, then I started to realize, like, dang, like, guns don't kill people. People kill people, man.
Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. You said that. A lot of people say that. Most people be like, you know how they're trying to change all the gun laws and stuff right now?
Yeah.
Blame it on the guns and everything like that. But then you got people saying, it's not the guns, it's the people.
People kill people, man. Guns don't, when you break down a pistol, You get to see what a pistol is, and man, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Right.
I did want to bring up this before we wrap it up. Your brother Willie's in XR, well, cryptocurrency. Are you involved too, or not, or no?
I do a little bit of it. Time is very important to me, and I respect time a lot. So you got to invest that time into it. Like, time is what makes the money. Like, I try to not do too much of things, man. I try to not balance too much of things. Like, investments, I'm all about investments, making the right investments and stuff like that. Like, Dogecoin, I invested in the Dogecoin and stuff like that. So, but the trading aspect of it, like, you got to really study it. So I got into it. And then it's just like, you got to really read those charts, man. And you got to really know the trends and stuff like that. I think a lot of what Forex do, it teach you about what's going on in the world.
That's what I do. Yeah, man.
That's the knowledge, man. That's the knowledge that you need. Because something could be going on in Africa that's impacting you.
Big fact.
If you're not in it, you're not ever going to know. So you could be losing money because of what's happening in Africa. And a lot of times we don't live our lives focusing on what's going on outside of what we can see. But like, things like that can impact your future. And if you in that realm, it can help you make better decisions and set your future up for success. So Forex is good, man, because it teaches you a lot. And it's a lot of money to make in Forex too.
Yeah, that's what I do, man. Mm-hmm. I
know what you're talking
about. You're right.
It's a lot of money to make in Forex. And it's a lot of money to make in everything too. You know, you can't be afraid to take risks. You know, and you can't be afraid to invest. But most importantly, it's that time. You know, what you put in is what you're gonna get out. So, yeah. But I got my money in a couple places and stuff like that. But I'm sowing my time into this music. Yeah. I'm sowing my time into this music, and I'm sowing my time into trying to be the best father that I could be. And I'm married too, so to be the best husband that I could be to my wife. So,
speaking of marriage, did you see that guy? I don't know his name.
Oh, Derek Jackson.
Yeah, I think that's his name. Where he's talking about relationship advice and how men should treat women and this and that, but he ended up cheating on his wife.
Yeah, but see, like, I felt like he was wrong for bashing other brothers, man. You can't do that. You can't go out there, you bashing other brothers like you perfect. But like, it ain't surprise me, because I know he's a human being, you feel me? And humans make mistakes. We all have made mistakes. You know, and it's just like, we just like to measure mistakes that people make. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I also feel like, I was talking about that this morning, I also feel like he up right now. If I was him, I'd write another book right now. Mm-hmm. I'd be writing a book right now, because the exposure, the amount of exposure that he get, you know, they say that good publicity, bad publicity, like they are good.
Yeah,
publicity is good publicity,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, if I was him, I'd be writing a book right now. Like, because you know how many people going through what he going through right now? But he the face of it. And it's just like, he could write a book on how he fought for his marriage.
That's what I think he should do. But people, cause I was listening to Charlamagne, and people are saying that the way he's handling it is bad. He should be trying to do what you just said. What he's doing instead, he's still going on with the same message that he was doing before, bashing other brothers when you just did the same thing.
Yeah. But see, he trying to lean on what brought him that success initially. You know, the 1.3 million followers that he got, you know, that his supporters were women. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, he trying to do that, and he's still trying to be that light, you know, for some of the women. Cause I mean, he made his mistake, but he inspired and motivated a lot of women. You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't mean that, like, I fought him for bashing other brothers, you know what I'm saying? But when he was in his marriage, I mean, at some point his marriage was good. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the moment, in the midst that, you know, his marriage was good, it wasn't wrong for him to talk about it. He just shouldn't have been bashing everybody else. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you can't be casting stones at people about
you got skeletons in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, but if I was him, I'd be writing another book.
Same here. I would take a break. And then I have a book, or I have a take a break and have like everything recorded of me going through the process of therapy and we fixing our marriage and stuff like that.
No, I'd be writing a book right now, cause you know how it worked, Rose. It's the way, man. You think they're gonna be talking about him in another? You think they're gonna be talking about him in another 2 to 3 weeks?
Nah, yeah, you're right. They're gonna forget about
it. They're gonna forget about it. Ain't nobody.
Something else gonna be happening.
Yeah, you can't wait. I'll be writing that book right now, man. I'm writing that book right now, man. I'm writing it right now. You know what? And I'll put the book out right now, because people are going and buy that book because people want to know what his. I wouldn't have gave no response. I would have. My bad. I wouldn't have gave no response. I would have went and wrote the book, and my book would have had my responses.
Oh, that's true. You would have more people buying it just to see what happened. Yeah.
Yep.
What?
See, so you think he did wrong when he brought his wife? When he brought his wife to the video?
Look. You go look at the video that he got of his wife. It's everywhere on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But if he would have released a book talking about the truth behind everything, people would have went and bought it. people would have got it on their audio books. People would have, you know what I'm saying? Like, he going on social media and he giving the blogs exactly what they want. Because the blogs looking for an explanation, they looking for an explanation from him right now. You know what I'm saying? And all he doing is giving the blog stuff to post. Because all the blogs do is they take a segment of what he said, they compile it, they put the video out, and they paint the narrative. You see what I'm saying? The blogs in control right now. Like, we're doing this interview. You can take a segment of this interview and put out the best segment of this interview and push that narrative, and it's going to get his interview views. That's what he giving the blogs exactly what they want. If I was him, I'd be writing a book. I'd write a book, and my response would have been in that book. Like, I don't know if y'all remember Corinne Steffens.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
Superhead.
Yeah.
You know? She wrote a book too, ain't it?
Yeah, she wrote a book.
She wrote a book.
She was popping for that, boy.
She was popping for that book. You know why? Because the book talked about a lot of the artists that she had encounters with.
Yeah, man. NBA star, all that shit.
NBA star. So guess what? Everybody wanted the tea. She ain't get
everybody
on camera.
Everybody wanted an interview. Yeah, too.
Yeah, exactly. Now, she controlled the narrative off her book. You see what I'm saying? Now the blog sites had to pay her to interview her.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? The blog sites had to compensate her to get her in front of a camera. Man, he doing that for free. You tripping. Hey, Derek Jackson, if you see a segment in this interview, you tripping, you should have wrote a book. And your response should have been in that book. Because people would have invested in your response like they doing now. He not, I mean, I don't know his pockets. I don't want to speak on another man's pockets. But, I mean, the blogs is what's pushing the narrative. The blogs are profiting off of it because the blogs are getting traction off of it. He ain't getting no traction. He getting bashed by everybody. Like, and my response just would have been, I would have stayed quiet and just wrote a book.
Not just him. The wife is getting bashed too. You got females on social media saying, I'll drink bleach before I go back with him after that.
Yeah, but see though, So now we're on that topic, and it's important for me to say this. Like, when you get married because you exchange your vows with that person, and that shows that you're willing to fight for that person. Mm-hmm. Like, you willing to go down to the bottom for that person, like, for both parties. This should be the same for him too. Like, she believe in her marriage. You see what I'm saying? And I feel like she fighting for her marriage, but because of how the culture is now, where a lot of people don't believe in that. Now they believe in it. Oh, he cheat, do him dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They don't believe in, but when you think about the black families, we're predicated off of that. Fighting for one another. You think the marriages, man, that they've been married for 60 plus years, it happened without blemish, without mistakes like that? The only thing is it wasn't publicized. You see what I'm saying? So it's just like now, major breakups when a man cheat, it's publicized now. Especially when a public figure cheats, you see what I'm saying? Then you got so many people who are opinionated that's giving their two cents. So that's and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just that's just the way of the culture now. But folks be acting like I respect her for fighting for her marriage, man. It's just a lot of stuff is publicized right now. A lot of stuff is out there because of social media. And because of people pushing different narratives, like, you don't know what's going on in their household.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know. Like, I respect her for fighting for her marriage, man. That's how these long-term relationships were built. They were built off a fight. You got folk. You got these folks fighting for each other. And when you fight for one another, you make it to the end. You look at, it's a crazy comparison, but you look at the Miami Heat. Ain't nobody thought Miami Heat was going to make it to the finals last year. You look at the start of the season, you would have never said Miami Heat would have been facing the Lakers in the finals. And them cats, they fought for each other. Because they fought for each other, they ended up in the finals. Man, that's how marriages that's how marriages go so long, because you got two parties that are willing to fight for one another.
Is it different if they were just dating, or like, do you fight for your relationship too, if even though you're not married?
If it's worth fighting for. I think when you get married, you get in the covenant, man. Like, you get married, you go on a covenant. Like, you putting a stamp on it, like, you know, and stuff like that. So, but marriage ain't easy. Marriage is an everyday fight. You fight for your marriage every single day. Because when you go to work, or your significant other, your wife go to work, or if it's a female, your husband go to work, man, you're faced with temptation all around. It's a constant fight. You know what I'm saying? I do say this though. And this is advice that I'm giving to the fellas. If you're in a relationship, you in a marriage, whatever, stop trying to fix your significant other. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and work on yourself. And when you start working on yourself, your significant other will see. Sometimes we try to fix your significant other, but they probably don't need to fix it. Maybe it's you. So if you work
that's
on
that
yourself,
grown man shit.
Yeah. That's some real spill right there. If you watching this interview, take some notes. Sometimes you just need to worry about fixing yourself. You know, and when I realized that, hey, I ain't perfect, and I started to work and fix myself, I started to notice change in my wife. My wife started catering to me a lot more. My wife started to do things that, because she was seeing the growth in me. You know, and it's just like a lot of men nowadays, they want to lead, but they ain't willing to do what's required to be a leader. They wanted to come to them just because they a man. You see what I'm saying? And it don't work like that, man. Sometimes you just gotta fix yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you gotta groom yourself. And it's like when I was getting married, you get a moment where you by yourself. Like, and that's when you standing out on that altar and ain't nobody there with you. But it's just you that's there. Maybe the pastor's around, but your groomsmen, they walking with the bridesmaids. You in the paint right there by yourself. You see what I'm saying? So you really get a moment to kind of reflect and stuff. And you get that last moment where you just like, well, it's gonna happen. And it's happening. And it's just like, you know, that's when you go from a boy. I think you go from being a boy in that moment. And you're talking about every aspect, every other aspect in life. But you go from being a boy to a man. At least that was the experience for me. And whatever. And then you see your wife come out and stuff like that. And it's the most amazing feeling ever. You know, but a lot of fellas, work on yourself. Stop trying to fix your significant other. You work on yourself and you're going to start seeing the change happen.
What's your thoughts on, because you know how So this been going on. I don't know if you want to call this a myth or whatever, but niggas be like, nah, man, when a girl cheats, it's different, man. She's like giving like that man, like whoever she cheat on you with, her soul. But when a man cheat, he's just trying to bust a nut. What's your thoughts on that theory?
It's just a double standard that exists. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when they say the man got to pay all the bills. You know, it's a double standard that I don't think we ever gonna be able to come to any agreement with, because it's just a double standard that exists. I mean, my personal thoughts on it, it's like women are smarter, man. Women are a lot smarter than men, I feel like. Because it's like women think things too.
Men ain't the only one that I was about to say that. Women will think more about it than the guy will in that situation.
Yeah, like it ain't always that too. Women a little more strategic.
Yeah, that too. That's why
men get caught, man. Women don't, because they think things through. Men be in the moment, you know. Like that. Yeah, they be in the moment, so they don't be thinking. But women think things through, and they just a lot smarter, you know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. But, man, women lie and men lie. Like, it's just... They two different beings. One of them think things too, and the other one just trying to make things happen.
He's just in the moment.
Differentiate which is which, you know.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna stay out of this. Y'all decide.
Yeah, they know.
So, all right. Let people know where they can find you and what you got next, so they can stay tuned and yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. You can follow me on IG at k.e underscore official 3. I'm on Twitter under k.e official 3. I'm on YouTube under King Ezreal TV. That's K-I-N-G E-Z Real R-E-A-L TV. And y'all just tune in, man. I'm working on my next project, sophomore year. You know, you guys are gonna just like you see growth in school from a freshman to sophomore, you know, y'all gonna see that in this next project. So we ain't got a date yet, but it's definitely coming out 2021. So I got probably like, I got 12 songs right now that are ready. But I got so much unreleased music that right now I'm just like in a selection stage, but I got 12 solid ones right now, you know, that I know for sure is gonna make the project. So we still wrapping up and selecting, and you know, As I grow in life, I'm growing in music too. You know, like I just bought a home. Okay, you know, so man. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I just made a really big investment, and I think right now I'm in the process. Like, I bought a home, but I'm renovating it. You know, so that's why like. You'll see, like, on my social media page.
Oh, I did see that. I didn't know that was your house, though. I thought that was somebody else. Yeah. So you're doing it yourself.
Yeah. That's me. I'm putting
it in the work. Yeah, I see you building and doing stuff yourself. Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah. I'm building. I'm doing a lot of stuff myself, man. A lot because, you know, as my daughter grow and stuff like that, and she, you know, she going to home buying and stuff like that, or my brothers, my sisters, my siblings, my cousins, man, I'm learning through my experience so that way I could be able to help save them some money, you know, because, and you learn that through the home buying process, you reach out to folks, you get quotes. You know, some is going to charge you way more than others. But then you go down to Home Depot and you give it a shot and you'd be surprised what you can do or what you know. You know what I'm saying? Or, and I live on YouTube, man. Shout out to YouTube, YouTube University. So I've been watching a lot of stuff and they got a lot of videos that show you how to do. So I've been watching videos and I've been learning. So I've been putting in the work and to my own house, because you could pay somebody $3,000-$4,000 and they still won't give you the work that you would put into your house, but you would never know because you don't know how to break it down or you don't know how to fix it. You know what I'm saying? And when you tear down the walls, you really get to see what the structure of the home looked like. So I got to experience that too. So I ain't really been posting some of the new stuff because I just been really focused on, you know, like building my home, because I'm doing everything from scratch and stuff like that. So some folks I'm paying too. I can't do everything. Some folks you gotta pay. Don't be cheap. You gotta pay the people, you know, and stuff like that. But a lot of the stuff I'm doing by myself. So
okay. Well, thanks for coming on, man. We definitely gonna bring you back on. I gotta bring Willie back. I gotta bring Willie on. I got you, I got Mark. Next person is Willie next.
For sure. I appreciate y'all, man, for showing not just only me love, but showing my family love, man. I appreciate y'all time. Man, I enjoyed every bit of the hour and 30 minutes we spent on this call, man. I enjoyed it.
Perfect, man. Thanks for coming on, man. For the culture.
All right.
For sure. Thanks, man. For the culture.
It is what it is, but you can ask anybody from my neighborhood and they'll just tell you that this is just another Bronx tale.